You guys look great out there. You're all dressed up and looking nice for church, and it's so great to see you guys and just be with you this morning. We've been talking for quite some time about our new church vision of building generations for Jesus Christ, and we talked about these three ideas of loving, living, and leading like Jesus, and now we're talking about what's called core values. How many of you guys were here last week? Anybody was around last week? Okay, lots of you were here last week, and if you open your bulletin, you'll find a little sheet that says core values. Just looks like that. And we're just kind of going through those core values, and we're asking the question with a new vision, what are the values that are really central to us? And I'm going to start today with a little confession for you guys. This is not the confession. This is pre-confession. But I love you guys. I love coming to church. But here's the confession. When I was a kid, I hated to come to church. I hated it. I mastered the art of sleeping on the pew with my head in just the exact right position. Don't raise your hand, but maybe you know what I'm talking about, some of you out there. My dad was a pastor, and he would be preaching, and I would just sit there, and I'd be like, oh, I'm in church. I can't believe I'm in church. And I remember thinking, if I'm an adult and I have trouble sleeping, I'm just going to come to church because it's the best place to sleep. I really didn't like it. I even one time told my dad, I think I was about 5 or 6 years old. I think one time I told my dad, I said, Dad, is heaven going to be like church? Because if it is, I'm not even sure I want to go. He was quite alarmed by the statement, you know, from his little son, and we had quite a talk after that. But anyway, the whole thing about church that I think as a kid I didn't get was I was seeing a cold religion, and I wasn't seeing an active relationship with God. And I want to tell you today, our sermon today, the topic of these two core values is really the difference between cold religion and the active relationship that we long for with God. Here's the list of core values are right there. And today we're talking about these two core values, continual prayer and being Holy Spirit led. Continual prayer and Holy Spirit led. So let's begin this idea about continual prayer. This is an interesting idea. How many of you guys would say, being honest in church, that you pray? Just raise your hand. You pray. Sometimes you pray. Occasionally you pray. Now, it's really interesting when you look at this verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It tells us how often we should be praying. It tells us how we should be connecting with prayer. And it says a really interesting thing. It does not say, hey, once a week you should pray. You know, take a bath and pray once a week. No, it doesn't say that, whether you need it or not. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, hey, pray once a day. That would be a bad thing. Hey, pray once a day. That would make sense, right? But Paul tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, you guys jump in when I stop, pray. Now think about that. What kinds of things are happening continually? What's happening all the time? One thing happening continually is your heart. Your heart is beating continually. It doesn't stop. It goes on and on and on. It's continually happening. The Bible talks about other things that are continual. Proverbs 19:13, a nagging wife is like the constant dripping of a leaky roof. I'm not going to comment on that verse in any way, shape, or form. But it's continual, right? It's happening. It's ongoing. It keeps happening. It just won't stop. One time I went on a church men's retreat, and see lots of jabbing of wives out there. Okay, that was not the intention. Not the intention there. I was on a men's retreat, and I was happy to be there. I was excited about it. I was going to speak the next morning, and we were at Round Lake, and we got to that men's retreat. It was bunks, a big bunk room, and I got my stuff, and I laid down in the bunk room, and I quickly realized we had a snorer in our midst. How many guys have had that happen? You went somewhere for something, and somebody's snoring. Well, then I realized we had two snorers. And then we had three snorers, right? And it was constant snoring. Snore, snore, snore. I'm laying there. I couldn't go to sleep. And then at one point in the night, no exaggeration, the snoring synced up, and it was constant snore with no break in between. Constant, just a straight snore all the way through. I went out the hallway and like, can I sleep in the hallway? I don't know. Some of you guys were there in that room. You know what I'm talking about, right? What's constant? What things in life are continual? Our heartbeat, this idea that there are things happening all the time, continually, all the time. Think about this verse. Pray continually. It almost seems like, wow, how could that's impossible. How could I constantly be praying? Here's that same verse, a different translation. This is the ESV. It says, pray without ceasing. This is even bigger. Don't stop praying. Continue praying. Now, I thought, if you're sitting here, you're probably wondering, Pastor Tom, what are the two Greek words that make up this verse? It actually is only two words in Greek, pray continually. And I thought, you know, I really want you to understand both of these Greek words and how they work. So I contracted via candy with a Greek expert who's going to explain these two words to you, and she's really awfully cute. So here we go, 1 Thessalonians 5:17.
Hi, my name is Ella. Today we'll be studying 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This verse only has two words, pray continually. Let's look at that word for pray. The word is prohousomai, and it just means to pray. And there's lots of words in the Greek for prayer. This word does not indicate a special place to pray. It means you can pray anywhere, and it does not indicate praying with other people. You can pray by yourself. The second word is continually. In Greek, that word is adiolitos, and it means continually, all the time, day and night. This verse tells us to pray continually, all the time, without stopping. Pray continually. I'm Ella Pound, and that's your Greek lesson for today.
How about a little hand for Ella, if you guys don't mind, just brightening your day. Now she told us two really important things about this verse, pray continually. Here's number one. It's a Greek word for prayer. It means to pray, but there are other Greek words for prayer. And other words mean things like go to a special place of prayer. That's not this word. And there's other words for prayer that means pray as a group or pray in the assembly. That's not this word. It means this. It doesn't mean you have to pray with others. It doesn't mean you go to a special place to pray. It means you're praying all the time. Of course, you can pray with others. Of course, you can pray in a special place. But this means you're praying everywhere you go. How often? Here's the word. Continually. Always praying. Day and night. Now, I know some of you are thinking, wow, that's a really interesting concept. But others of you are thinking this. You're thinking, Pastor Tom, that is impossible. There is no way to pray all the time. This is there's the verse again. This is Leon Morris. He's a Bible scholar, wrote a commentary on 1 Thessalonians. And here's what he says about this verse. Here's what he says. It is not possible for us to spend all of our time with the words of prayer on our lips, but it is possible for us to spend our day in the spirit of prayer, realizing all the time our dependence on God, being conscious of His presence and listening for His voice to direct us. Now, I want you to think about that. That's a really big idea, that all day long, you are conscious of God. When you can, you pray. When you have that moment, you're in the car, you're going from place to place, you're praying, you're in prayer. People need prayer. You stop, you pray with them. But at the same time, all day long, you are conscious of God. You're inviting God to be with you throughout your day. That's what Leon Morris said. Here's how I say it. We should be consistently conscious of God. Who agrees with that? Just raise your hand. You agree with that? Consistently conscious of God, continually giving to God our stress. Who here can admit that sometimes you get some stress? Just raise your hand. You can admit that you get some stress. Some of you are stress-free. That's awesome. Good job, guys. Giving to God our stress, our burdens, temptations, and sin, and receiving from God peace, strength, and grace in return. Now, I want to give you a picture of what does it look like to pray continually? What does it look like? In fact, I found a verse in the Old Testament that I felt like really summed up some of the important points of praying continually. This is Psalm 89, 15 and 16, and here's what it says. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. And so I just want to explain to you kind of how this verse works and give you a parallel with the story in my life. Several years ago, actually in the year 2000, I graduated from seminary. I went to Ashland Seminary and did my studies, and I graduated. But part of my work in Ashland was a two-year counseling program that I went through. And after my two-year counseling program, my program was more than just those 2 years, but it was 2 years concentrated learning about Christian counseling and some of those kinds of things. And when my 2 years was up, I had a comprehensive test. It was a test over all the material that you'd had for 2 years. How many guys have had a comprehensive comprehensive test at some point over years of work, and you can know that brings a little stress. It brings a little, wow, if I fail the test, I can retake it, but if I keep failing it, I'm going to have to redo the whole 2 years. And I was feeling some stress and some anxiety about that test coming up. Well, then all of a sudden, the church, Spring Hills, this church, announced that they had a mission trip for their youth group going to New Mexico to an Indian reservation. And I knew right away, I would love to go to New Mexico. I would love to go on that trip, but there's no way. I've got this huge test coming. And so I pray. And I just said a very simple prayer. God, if you want me to go on this trip, then I just pray you lead and direct me. And all of a sudden, I felt this, best word for it is quickening. My heart began to beat faster, and I kind of had this little passion, and I just dismissed it. Yo, yeah, I love adventure. I'd love to go, but God, I can't go. I've got this test. And then I felt even more. And then I said to God, I just said directly to God, God, I can't go on this trip. I've got to focus on this test. And then I heard this, the voice of God. Now, let me tell you how I recognize God's voice in my life. Here's what I understand. It was words that came into my mind, not outside, but inside my mind. And when these three things happen, I tend to say, this is God speaking to me. Number one, they weren't from my perspective. They were from God's perspective. He was speaking to me. You see, my thoughts are from my perspective. So first of all, these words were from God's perspective. Number two, accompanying these words was the peace of God. When I heard this, I immediately felt the peace of God. And the third thing for me to feel like I'm hearing from God is that typically it's not a thought that I would ever have or wouldn't be what I'm thinking. So I'm praying. And I said, God, I can't go on this mission trip. And I just heard this quick phrase, pray that you pass the test with honors. Go on the trip. I thought, oh God, I wasn't even thinking about with honors. I can definitely pray that. I can begin praying that. So I did this crazy thing. I went on a mission trip all the way to New Mexico when I have my comprehensive test coming up. We were on the plane flying out. I'm studying on the plane. We were on that mission trip. Great things happened on the mission trip. It was amazing, awesome. I built a roof on a little Indian hut, and it was just awesome. Lots of great things. I actually got a roofing team that was all girls, all high school girls, and me. We called ourselves Girl Power. And Tom, that was the name of our little roof building group we had there. And it was awesome. We had this great, great time. And the whole time I was like, gosh, I've got this big test coming. Well, then the day of that test came, and I was calling on God, praying that I would pass with honors. And here's what I began to do. Just like this verse says, I began to acclaim God, to call on God. I was conscious of God, giving praise to God. God, I've got this test, and it's going to be stressful and difficult, 2 years of work. And then I got my test. This is no exaggeration, no lie. I got the test, and it was in four parts. And I got the first part, and I sat down in my chair, and I prayed at every question. I actually put both my hands on the test, and I prayed, Lord God, you asked me to pray to pass with honors, and I pray that right now. Prayed on my test. Anointed with oil. No, just kidding. Didn't go that far. I opened the test. I began taking the test, and I was in prayer the entire test. I prayed over every question. I would read the question and then pray, God, guide my pencil to the right answer. God, help me remember. And I just felt like God and I together, the Holy Spirit was right there. We were taking that test together. And here's what happened. Number two, the verse says this, walk in the light of your presence. Let me tell you, that should have been the most stressful test of my entire life, but it wasn't. I was full of God's peace the entire time. God's presence was right there with me taking this test, and I'm marking off answers. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And you get to a certain part of the test where you read about someone's life, and it's about a page. You read their life, and you've got to give them a diagnosis. And I'm reading. I'm checking off. I'm looking at the list. And I'm like, man, this is actually fun. I'm actually having fun because God's presence is right here with me. And then I came down. Here's the third thing this verse says will happen. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to rejoice in your name all day long. Let me tell you what I'm saying is when you are continually in prayer, you're going through your day with God right there, you end up rejoicing in all the difficult and hard moments because God is there with you. You walk in the light of God's presence, filled by the Holy Spirit, asking God to lead and guide you. How many guys are with me right now? You with me right now? Continual prayer. What an important thing. Now, that's the first one of these two that we're talking about today, continual prayer. Let me re-summarize for you what is continual prayer. Here's the idea. Continual prayer maintains our connection to God moment by moment. And then number two, continual prayer is continually giving to God our stress, our burdens, temptations, and sin, and receiving peace, strength, and grace in return. We're just walking with God, going through our life with God right there. That's core value number one for today. Core value number two for today is this one, being Holy Spirit led. Now, I want you to see how these two core values go together, because number one, I'm continually in prayer. But number two, I'm not just in prayer. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit who lives within me to live my life in a certain way. I'm being led by God specifically. Here's idea number one, receiving direction from God. You see, it's more than just receiving peace from God, more than just receiving his forgiveness. I'm receiving direction from God. Go here, do that, do this. Hearing from God. Here's number two, following the direction that we receive with, you guys say it with me, with? Like four of you, or yeah, it was good. It was like not really a chorus, I wouldn't say. A few of you were there for obedience. But here's the idea. When I hear from God, I've got to follow him. When God says, go talk to this person, I don't hold back. God says, go pray for this person, I don't hold back. I follow with obedience as God leads and directs. What are some of the ways the Holy Spirit leads us? Here's some of the ideas about that. Holy Spirit leads us, first of all, through Scripture. I want to talk about that for a second. I can remember really clearly it was 1997, my wife had gone off to a Bible study. I was home. We had been married a few months, and it's now September 1997, and my wife had gone to her Bible study, sis group, and I was by myself watching Monday Night Football. I'm watching Monday Night Football. I'm just sitting there watching the game, and, you know, no big deal, nothing happening, and I just kind of heard that gentle whisper of God, which kind of reminded me. I was 25 years old, and God reminded me, hey, you haven't spent any time with me yet today. I turned the TV off, and I opened the Bible, and I began to read the Bible, and I came across this story in the New Testament, which cross-references with a story in the Old Testament, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it. It's about when Jesus comes in, and he raises a widow's son back to life, and that comes back to the Old Testament prophets. I'm reading those stories, and somehow in the midst of that Bible study and that time, God spoke to me, and God said, I want this to be the mission of your life, to bring people back to life, people who are spiritually dead, that God would work through you to bring them back to life. God used his word to lead me by the Holy Spirit. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be a pastor. I spent my whole life saying, I'll never be a pastor. And then God called me to be a pastor. And I followed with obedience. See, the Holy Spirit led me through Scripture. The Holy Spirit leads us through the peace. When something happens and we feel the peace of God, we say, wow, that's the Holy Spirit. Who knows what I'm talking about with that? You have a peace about something. God's leading you. Or maybe there's passion for you. You hear about something. I was talking to somebody this week about an opportunity they had. And as they're telling me about their opportunity, I was getting excited. I was getting passionate about what God was calling them to do. And I thought, wow, God's calling you to this. I can feel the passion myself. And then last of all, the Holy Spirit leads us. There's tons of other ways, but here's three I wanted to point out this morning. His gentle whisper, that God speaks to us. Like I mentioned before, he speaks into our mind, or God will often give me a picture or give me something specific, a little piece of scripture that God will put in my mind. That's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us in a very simple way. His gentle whisper leads our life. I remember not too long ago, about maybe a year and a half ago or so, somebody called me. This is a very normal thing to happen. The person's a member of our church. They go to church here, and they called me on the phone, and they said, Pastor Tom, I've got a friend. My friend doesn't go to church, but my friend they found a tumor in my friend's body, and it might be cancer, it might not. They're going to have a biopsy. They're going to scan the tumor, but she's really nervous about it, and I said, why don't you come to me to my church, and my pastor will pray for you for your tumor. I said, great, that sounds fantastic. So that she brought her friend in. Her friend was a little nervous. I'm in church. What am I supposed to do? You know. And she sat down. And I said, let's just talk. And we talked for a minute. And I said, can I pray for you? Just pray, you know, that, you know, for God to be working and you to understand what's happening. And she said, sure, you can pray. And so I stood up and I put my hand on her shoulder very gently and pastorally. And I began to pray. I was praying for this tumor and praying for her situation. And the Holy Spirit just really gently whispered through a picture in my mind. And as I'm praying for her, I saw a quick picture of her left knee in my mind. As my eyes are closed, and I see her left knee in my mind. So I finished praying, and I said, hey, something really weird happened while I'm praying for you. I just had this little picture of your left knee. And she smiled really big, and she's like, well, my left knee's been hurting me for years and years. And I said, well, I've got an idea. Since you're here for prayer anyway, how about if I just pray for your knee? And she said, okay, sure, you can pray for my knee. So I switched down and put her hand on the knee. Then I put my hand over her hand because I'm not in the habit of grabbing women's knees, just not, you know, really what I do. And so I prayed for her knee, and I said, thanks, prayed for her knee. She got up and she kind of did one of these, like, okay, well, thanks, Pastor Tom. This is kind of weird for me. I'm not used to getting prayed for. I don't know. You know, and she laughed with her friend, and they're in the parking lot, and her friend told me this later. In the parking lot, she was like, you know, right now my knee doesn't hurt, and it's hurt for years. It's the first time in years there's no pain in my left knee. And then she said, do you think it's because of that prayer? And her friend was like, yeah, I think that's what happened right there. Also, her tumor was not cancerous. Praise God for that as well. But there's the Holy Spirit just gently guiding, leading us. Let me say some things about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Here's what it says in Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He's our example. If he's led by the Spirit, we should be led by the Spirit. How about this one? All Christians should be led by the Spirit. Here's what it says, Romans 8:14. You can memorize this verse. It's amazing. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You see, you don't simply want, this is great. It's great to be in continual prayer, receiving God's peace, his presence, but you also need the direction that God gives by leading you through the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm just going to give you guys a little thermostat right now. You guys don't seem especially engaged this morning. I'm not hearing very many amenings. I'm just kind of sensing a little something out there with you guys. I'm thinking maybe you slept in, you know, or it's the weather change or something like that. So I'm going to give you one more chance for that amen. And I think something awesome is going to happen. So what do you think about that?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, exactly. We're talking about God leading our lives. What an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit leading us. Being led by the Spirit is a new way to live. What do I mean by that? This is Galatians 5:18. But if you are, Paul says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Understand what he's saying? It's not about you saying, well, what's the law say? Here's the law says this, the law says that. I want to get as close to the line and not sin as I possibly can. No, that's the law. Led by the Spirit means the Spirit is telling me what to do. I'm not living in my flesh. I'm living by the Holy Spirit leading and guiding my life. This is a big deal. There are three underlying assumptions of being led by the Holy Spirit. See if you agree with these things. Here's number one. God is speaking. Do you agree with that? What do you think? God is speaking right now today. God is speaking. I'll prove it to you. Here we go. John 5:17 says, God is always working. Jesus said that. God's always working and so am I. John 5:17. Do you believe God's still speaking? How about number two? Here we go. We can learn to hear. Do you believe that? It doesn't do any good if God's speaking and you can't hear what he's saying. We can learn to hear God. He is speaking in such a loud way through his word, the Bible. But if we don't study it, if we don't look into it and get into it, we're not going to hear what God's saying. Also, God's speaking in those other ways, through peace, through passion, through his gentle whisper. God's speaking and we can learn to hear him. And then here's number three, real easy. He will lead you. Do you believe that? God will lead you. God will show you where to go and what to do, and God's willing to lead you. He's speaking. We can learn to hear him, and he will lead us with his life. Now, let me say something really important. Some of you right now, you're sitting there on your seats. I'll just give you a little feedback here. And you're sitting there, and you're kind of leaning forward, and you're with me, and you're like, Tom, go get him. You're so right about this. You're leaning forward. You're sitting right there. But some of you, you're thinking this. Actually, I can see it on your faces. You're thinking this one word. And here's the one word. Really? Really, Pastor Tom? Do you really think that I can spend my whole day in prayer and then hear God and then do what God wants? Really, Pastor Tom? Is that really what you think is happening? Because this is really difficult. This is really, really hard. That's what you're saying. There is no way I could pray continually throughout my whole day. And here's why, Pastor Tom. Here's why. Here it is right here. I get distracted, right? That's what you're thinking. Pastor Tom, it's so hard to think about being consistently in prayer all day long because I get distracted. There are things that come along and they distract me. Let me ask this question real fast. This is no nothing to feel guilty about. How many guys own a smartphone? Real fast, up and down, right? If you own a smartphone, then your phone is really smart. And if you own a smartphone, then you actually have the power of the internet right there in your very hand. Now, this is my phone, and there are four ways people can contact me on my phone. And I have to constantly check these ways that they might be contacting me because I don't want to leave them out. And it tends to be something that's kind of distracting. Do you guys notice that when you think about smartphones or cell phones, there's just so much constantly coming in all the time? Now, for a while, cell phones were actually getting smaller. Did you guys see that happening? Cell phones started out big, and then they got smaller and smaller and smaller. But right now, cell phones, they are huge, right? They're bigger and bigger. The display is bigger. You're looking at that, you're like, wow. You know, it's such an amazing and distracting thing to see all the technology that's out there. Recent study actually deducted this. This is pretty brilliant, I think. They actually deducted that Twitter is right in the middle of narcissism, ADHD, and stalking. It's right there in that little sweet spot right there between all three of those things. Right, and here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pastor Tom, I know you're telling us to pray continually and be in prayer, but I am so distracted all the time. Who's with me on this? A little distracted. A little easy to be distracted by your life. Tracy and I went on vacation years and years ago. My daughter Elizabeth, my oldest daughter, she's 15 and a half now, but back then she was about 2 years old. We were on vacation. I came in back to the hotel room on vacation, and I walked in, and like this wave of noise hit me as I walked in the room. My wife was in the bathroom. She was blow-drying her hair. It's really loud in that little hotel bathroom. She's blow-drying her hair. And my daughter, I hate to admit this, but she was watching Barney. How many guys had to sit through a little Barney? And Barney was going, you know, I love you, you know, doing his Barney thing. And I looked over, and my daughter was asleep. I'm like, praise God, I can turn Barney off. And I turned off Barney. It got a little quieter. And then Tracy stopped blow-drying her hair, and she turned the hair dryer off. And I realized for the first time that in that room, there was praise music playing. It was a Spring Hill CD, and Pastor Brad Pilkington was singing, in your presence, there is peace. And when all those distractions went away, I could suddenly hear that praise music. And I thought, wow, that's a big thing for my life. Let me tell you a takeaway you might have from this message. Here it is. You need to, in your life, you need to turn down some distractions so you can turn up God to hear him better in your life. You with me on that? Turn down some distractions to turn up the voice of God, to hear him more clearly. Continual prayer, being led by the Spirit. Some of you would say, no, I'm too distracted. Well, you know what? Turn some things off and turn God up, and don't let those distractions stop you. Here's number two. Pastor Tom, I could never do this. I could never be in continual prayer because theologically it's not possible. Why would God care to know everything about my life? Does God really want to know all these little details of my life? Well, let me just tell you what the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:7. This is a pretty big deal. Look what it says. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he, you guys say it, for he cares about you. God wants to know. God wants to be with you through your day. God cares about you. How about this one? This is Jesus. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus says. What an amazing, amazing idea. He cares. He wants to live life with us. And then there's this one. Ephesians 3:12. I just love this verse, and I really want you to understand it. Here's what it says. Because of Christ and our faith in him, because Jesus died on the cross for us, and all of our sin was put on Christ, and we have faith in that. We have faith that Christ died and rose again for us. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come, you guys say it, we can now come and confidently into God's presence. We can boldly come. Yes, theologically, God wants to be present in your life through continual prayer and through leading you to know him more, to follow him, to do amazing things that he's calling for you to do. And here's your third objection. Number one, Pastor Tom, I get distracted. Number two, theologically, how could God care about me so much? God does care about you so much. And then number three, here it is. Don't miss this. Some of you in this room, when you think about the idea of being continual in prayer, inviting God into every detail of your life, and being led by the Holy Spirit, you'd say, no way. That's really uncomfortable. And here's my phrase for that. You would say, I'm hiding from God. I'm pushing God away. And here's why. Because God wants to control my life, and I don't want God's control. I want to control my own life. So I'm pushing God away. I'm hiding from what God might want to do. Or more probable for those in this category of hiding from God, you know you've done some things. You know some things have happened in your life that you've made mistakes, you've committed sins. And even though you hear me say all the time, God forgives you, we repent, God forgives, but you're just hiding, you're a little ashamed. There's a book that I used to recommend in counseling a few times. This is a John Townsend book called Hiding from Love. And the idea for that book and the idea for this point is this idea that Adam and Eve or our first example about this idea. That Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there they were. God said, don't eat the fruit, and they ate the fruit, and what happened next? Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he's walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Now, let me explain this to you. People come and they talk to me, and sometimes they'll come with an issue. They'll say, Pastor Tom, I'm drinking too much, and I don't know why it's happening. I just find myself, alcohol seems like the answer, and I know it's gone too far. People come to me before, and they've had an addiction to drugs, and they're like, I don't know what I can do. I can't quite shake it. Well, they'll come and they'll say, Pastor Tom, I don't know what my thing is, but I just keep overeating, and I'm eating and eating, and I can't stop. It's like I'm dependent on food for something. Or every now and then somebody will come and they'll say, Pastor Tom, I had this deal. I don't want to tell you. I'm embarrassed, but I shop and I buy things and I rack up debt, and I don't know what it's all about. And then I will say to anyone in those situations, it seems like to me you're employing a hiding behavior. You're doing something so you can hide from your emotions, you can hide from your guilt, but most especially for a Christian, you're hiding from God. You're hiding because you're afraid that when you're alone with God in his presence, that he's gonna hurt you, or he's not gonna forgive you, or not gonna be there for you. Let me just tell you, this is a big thing to realize. That when you think about inviting God into every minute, you're immediately repulsed because you're ashamed. And Jesus so much wants to tell us that he died for us. That we don't have to hide from God. We can live with God. That God forgives and forgives and forgives. That we realize our wrongdoing. We repent. We come back to God. And he forgives. He loves us. And he so desires for us to be in continual prayer in his presence all day long. God so desires to lead us gently and carefully. I want you to think about these ideas. Number one, I'm too distracted. Number two, why would God care? Number three, you're hiding from God. But I want you to imagine these things. I want you to imagine this for a moment. Just use your imagination right here in church. Dream with God and imagine this. Number one, your life continually in prayer and led by the Spirit. Imagine that. That you would take this sermon and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to begin my day in God's word. I'm going to study scripture. I'm going to begin in prayer. And then all day long, I'm going to be continually connected to God in prayer. Imagine your life. God begins to lead you. God begins to direct you and where you're going and what you're doing. The Holy Spirit's directing you here and directing you there. Some of you already live this way, and you know how sweet and wonderful it is. Imagine your life like that. Number two. Imagine your family. Some of you in this room, your fathers, your grandfathers. Some of you here are your moms, your grandmothers. Some of you, your children in the family. But let me tell you, wherever you are in your family, you can have a direct impact. Your relationship with God is affecting your family. I promise you, wherever you are in the family. Now, dads, God's counting on you. Dads, God's saying you're the spiritual leader in your home, and you got to pull your weight. Moms, you're there too. Moms, you've got a big role. And imagine your family, if you were continually in prayer and led by the Spirit, how you would so diligently rise up, raise your family in the way that God desires. Number three, imagine this. You guys with me on this, by the way? You guys out there with me? Here's number three. How about this church? Spring Hills Baptist Church. Look around the room. Go ahead, look around. Here it is. It's not the walls, it's the people. The church. Imagine this church. Imagine our church if we said together, maybe 15 people, 20 people, 200 people, 1,000 people. What if we said, you know what? This is us. We're going to be continually in prayer and led by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do big things for God because God is calling us to big things. What if we said, you know what? This vision, this idea of building generations, we're going to do that through prayer and being led by the Spirit. We're going to say, we're not going to let generations go by that don't know God. We're going to stand for the truth. I think that's what's so important about this. It's not just how it affects your life, how it affects future generations. Let me tell you what you know. Let me tell you what you know. My daughter now is my oldest daughter. I have three daughters. They're all beautiful, wonderful daughters, just like their mom. My oldest daughter is now driving. She's got a learner's permit. She's not driving with a license, but she's learning to drive, and it's frankly terrifying, absolutely terrifying. When she's driving, I envision wrecks everywhere. We're going to hit this stop sign. We're going to hit this mailbox. Ah! You know, I try and calmly say things like, hey, stay on the road, you know. Hey, stay in your lane, you know, stuff like that. Well, I've been having her drive in a certain location around the college, OSU, COTC area. It's nice and, you know, safe there. And we actually used to live by there. Our first house was by there. Well, this week she was driving so well on Thursday. I said, honey, just go out on the road. Let's see what happens. Oh, Dad, can I? Oh, sure, go on the road. She goes on the road. She goes around, goes up past the ice rink right there. She comes around Sharon Valley Road, and she gets on Granville Road coming towards Granville. And then she's driving, and she drives right past our old house. I was like, oh, there's our old house. She's like, oh, Dad, I miss the old house. And she's driving. And I said, honey, you know this road. You've been on this road thousands of times. You know what's coming. It's going to turn up there. And then I had this memory, and I may cry right now. And I remember when she was just a little girl, 2 or 3 years old. This is how she looked at the time of this memory. Just looked like that. What a cutie. You know, there she was. And I remember I had a bike with a bike seat, and almost every day, one summer, I would put her in the bike seat, and I'd ride that bike, and she'd sit behind me, and she'd do the same thing every single time. She'd take her little hand and put it under my shirt and pat my back, or she'd take her other hand and pat my head. Well, you know, one or the other. She'd pat my head or pat my back, and I'm in the car with her driving, and I'm realizing my little, cute, beautiful daughter used to pat my head is driving this car, and a little tear went down my cheek, and she's like, Dad, are you crying? Because if you cry, I'll cry, and we'll wreck and die. I said, honey, just keep it together, baby. Keep it together. Keep going. But here's what I know. Here's what I know is, you know what? The time for me to invest in her life is now, right now. And the same is true for you. The time to invest in her life is now, because that time is going to go. But listen, don't think your past time. Don't think the time has passed for you to influence someone else's life, because you can. I heard a story this week. This will be real brief. I'm going to end the sermon here. I heard a story this week about a family, and they had a baby, and it was about 6 months old, and it needed a heart transplant. And they got put on a list for a heart transplant for a six-month-old baby. Unfortunately, another family that had a six-month-old boy, they're both boys, the first family, their son died. And they gave the heart of their son who had died to this little boy who needed a heart. But the parents who gave the heart stayed in touch with that little boy who had their son's heart inside. They wrote him letters. They would talk on the phone to those parents, and eventually they decided to meet up. They didn't live close together, so they met up kind of in a central spot, and there was a water park, and they met at that water park. Here's the donor's parents and this boy with the heart. Now he's 5 years old. It's 4.5 years after the heart donation, and they're all there at this water park. Well, they're meeting this boy for the first time, and the little boy eventually throughout the day, he says, hey, Mom, I want to go on the big water slide. And her mom said, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to take you. And the other mom, the donor mom, said, oh, I'll take you. And took his hand and took them all up to that big water park. And this water slide, you went together. And so she sat down, and the little boy sat kind of on her lap, and she wrapped her arms around him, wasn't expecting this. And as her hands went around this little boy, she felt her son's heartbeat for the very first time. Well, let me tell you something. Your heartbeat, she was moved because even after his death, his heartbeat was continuing. Let me tell you, that's true about you too. That even after you're gone, your heartbeat, your legacy can continue building generations. When I think of that story, I think about my dad. My dad was here. My dad was preaching. He started this church, and now he's died and he's gone. You guys think about my dad, and you probably see him in a picture like this up there preaching and, you know, standing there and doing his thing. I got an email 2 weeks ago out of the blue. Just an email, just regular email came in. Here's what it said. Dear sir, I believe your father, Jeff Pound, was my coach in AYA football in 1968 in Germany. He had a wife named Kathy and was a captain in the Air Force, and he was a godly man. This is 1968, before my dad planted a church, before my dad did anything amazing. 1968, he's like 27 years old, and this guy knew him. He said he would pick me up after practice. When I would hitchhike, he'd pick me up and take me home. The most important thing about this was the communication we had in the car. Your father was more of a father figure to me than my actual father was. In 1968, on Thanksgiving Day, our team won the AYIA championship. Now, I've heard my dad talk about that for years and years. Here's an actual witness to it. We won the AYIA championship. Here's the last thing he said. It was the best team I ever played on. Your father was the best coach I ever had. He encouraged and changed my life. Here's what my dad would have looked like in 1968 in the Air Force. There he is. It's the last thing he said. I don't know where I'd be today if Coach Pound hadn't helped me change my mindset. I thought of him always and still do. He was more than a football coach. He was a life coach for me. My dad's heart's still beating. And after you're gone, your heartbeat's going to still beat. Your legacy will go on. But here's the question. Is it going to mean something for God's kingdom? Are we building generations for Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. I pray, God, that we can imagine our lives in continual prayer and led by the Holy Spirit. That we can imagine that, God, for our lives, for our family, for our church, that we can see the big picture, God, of what you want to do to change this community, this nation, and this world for Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray we can see that. I pray people in this room today identify that they are too distracted and that today they make that decision to turn some things off to turn you up, God, in their lives. Second of all, God, I pray people in this room would realize how much you care for them, that you want them to be praying all day long, that you want to be in the intimate details of their life. And last of all, God, I pray people in this room today would realize, some of them, that they're hiding from you, that, God, they're keeping you at arm's length, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. They're hiding, and they're keeping you off because, God, they don't know of your grace and of your mercy. And Father God, I pray you speak and you work in this invitation time to call us to continual prayer and be led by the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, some of you here, just keep praying. Some of you may want to come to the altar. You might want to come and kneel and pray and just have some time up here at the altar. So you may want to stay in your seats. That's fine too. But have some genuine time right now with God. Let him speak to you, talk to him, and set some things right now in your life with God.
See you. thank you so much for coming today. Just a couple of quick reminders before you go. If it's your first visit with us today or your first few visits and you haven't got a gift basket yet, we would love to offer you a gift bag right at the back table. It's the information center. There is also a prize inside the bag. It's not just an empty bag. So check that out. We also have a prayer and a healing team that meets in the room right behind that information center. So if any of you have any kind of physical issues, emotional issues, anything that you want prayer for, they are back there ready to pray for you. And we see miracles happen every single weekend. So we'd love for you to be a part of that next miracle. But now, for the announcement and the update that you have spent so anxiously awaiting, the preschool volunteer update. I know you're just sweaty with anticipation. So this service did step up. We had 7 people volunteer last week to help us out in the preschool for once a month for 3 months in a row next quarter. So we greatly appreciate that. Let's clap for that. I mean, that's amazing. That is super awesome. The really great news is on Saturday nights, we only have 4 spots left. So if there's 4 of you that feel led to come on Saturday nights, we would love to put you in those spots. And on Sundays for both services, there's only 12 spots left. So we are so close. And today could be the day that we finish it off. Now, the sad news would be I won't come up anymore if we do that. So, you know, it's your call. Or that might be reason enough. So please go see my wife. See if there's any spots at all that would fit for you in your schedule. And again, thank you so much for coming. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this room. God, for this building and this group of people. Lord God, but we praise you for you and for your Holy Spirit. Lord, for your presence and how thick your presence is in this room every day. Every day that I come, I get to experience you. And Jesus, I just release your presence on these people, that they would experience you day after day after day, that they would draw closer to you. As they're turning things off to turn you up, Lord, that they would come closer to you and know you in a new way that they have not experienced before. In Jesus' name, amen.